Welcome to the Jazz Piano School podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help you achieve jazz piano freedom so that you can express your true inner soul and emotions instead of having to copy what others have shown you. Now, we do this by providing structured and organized jazz piano education on specific jazz piano tools that you can then take and use over any tune so that you have complete jazz piano freedom.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
All right, welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 184. I'm your host, as always, Brendan Lowe, and thank you so much for joining us, me. So it's crazy time right now, and obviously, everyone is probably aware of what's happening in the world, right, with the coronavirus and everything. And, you know, it just makes us think, and it's a tough time, right? And it's during these times that we reflect on the important things in life, you know, family, friends, loved ones, and we take those things for granted, our jobs, you know, working, just having the ability to work and make money. I mean, that's a privilege, right? And, you know, with all this stuff going on, it's hard, it's rough. And music especially is an amazing, amazing thing. And it keeps us going. It provides hope, motivation, inspiration, warms our soul. And it just is uplifting, right? It puts a smile on our face and it calms our worries and anxiety. And I think we overlook that, right? And some of us don't, you know, clearly. But I think a lot of us do. And probably not you guys listening to the podcast, but I just think a lot of people in general. But I think it's our duty as musicians, right? Everyone listening to this, because, you know, you all are looking to better yourselves in music as a musician. I think we have an obligation, right, to help out the other people that are not musicians. And that's why, you know, it's such a joy for me to serve others with my music and provide that for people that, you know, need it. And so many times people come up to me and they say, Brendan, your music touched me and I didn't realize how much I needed to hear that from you, right? And it could be anything, right? It could be just the art of practicing on the piano is a beautiful thing. And learning a tune, even if it's, you know, not put together, just the sound of music in a house is a great, great thing. If someone's working on a tune or working on a piece, no matter if it's a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old, a 7-year-old, an adult, who, it doesn't matter what level they're at, just that process of creating art, creating music, really goes a long way to uplift our soul, put a smile on people's faces, and realize that there's more out there in life. It's not just dreary and endless and hopeless, right? There's little wrinkles that we can stop and reflect on and appreciate, right? About the beauty of life and the privilege that we have. So I don't really know where I'm going with this, but again, I think everyone listening probably in the world right now is in a reflective state. A lot of people are feeling anxiety, scared, emotional, you know, fears raging. And so again, music is just very, very important. We're going to keep doing what we do here at Jazz Piano School. Nothing's changed. You know, I've always worked from home, so I'm just doing the same thing I do every day, right? But now I have a lot more on my mind for the thoughts and prayers of others around the world, right? And, you know, close to me as well. So with that being said, we have an amazing podcast coming to you from Trent, who's going to talk to you about the versatile crunch, quote unquote. Now, this is a really cool thing, and I teach this to a lot of my students, but the way he frames it and describes it is really, really cool, and I love it. I love Trent's education. You know, he's going to give you a new perspective on this. And it was really cool to watch this and listen to him teach on this. And I know you're going to love it and you're going to start to use it a lot, this strategy in your playing, like at all times. It's so great. It's wonderful. So stay safe out there. And again, we'll do our best at Jazz Piano School to let music take over your life, sweep away your fears and anxiety, and bring a smile to your face and uplift your soul. All right, so let's get into this episode. Here we go.
What's up, everyone? This is Trent Bryden with Jazz Piano School. I'm really excited for today's podcast. I'm going to be showing you a chord that I like to call the crunch chord. And it's really versatile. You can use it in a lot of different situations. And that's why I'm so excited about this, because I think you'll really get a lot out of it. So whenever we dedicate time to internalizing musical material, it's really important to choose a lot of structures that are applicable to many common jazz situations. And this lesson focuses on one such structure that I've affectionately labeled the crunch chord. There's two main reasons why this voicing is so versatile. First, it contains two tritones, so it can be used on four different dominant chords. Second, it contains many different smaller chords within its overarching structure. So the relationships between these chords within the voicing create a unique harmonic texture that is useful for harmonizing any melody of your choosing. So let's go ahead and get right into it. The chord spelled from the bottom to the top in this key is B flat, D flat, E, G, A, C. All together. So as you can already tell right from the beginning, there's a lot of different chords contained within this voicing. The first way that I tend to look at it is as a B flat diminished chord on the bottom, even that G2, and then a C major 6 chord on the top. And then with both hands kind of, and both chords sharing this E and G in the middle. So it sounds like that. Another way to look at it is an A7 chord starting on the 3 with a minor third out in either direction on top and bottom, which gives you the sharp 9 on top and the flat 9 on bottom. Same chord, two completely different ways of looking at it. And that's only if you look at all the notes. If you start taking away notes from that, like if you take the A out, then you've got a C major triad, and then the 7 and 9 in the left hand. And then if instead of playing that G and C, if you play the A, you get this, which I call the sunny side chord. But that's a really interesting way of thinking about it, because a lot of times people think of harmony as being additive, like what notes can I add to get this sound? But this way of doing it, you're thinking, what notes can I take away to get this sound? So what I would challenge you to do is take this chord and see how many different chords you can find in between it by taking out notes. And figure out how you can use them. But that is not the overall point of this lesson. The point of this lesson is to figure out all the different ways we can use this chord as it is with all the voicing, all the notes in there. So the most important concept here is that there's two tritones that are contained within this chord. So first you've got the B flat and the E, which is the tritone of C and F sharp. And by tritone, I mean it's the tritone that contains the third and the seventh. It's the shell. It's the shell of both the C and the F sharp. The other tritone we have in there is the shell of both E flat 7 and A7. So those four different dominant chords, C, E flat, F sharp, and A, are all going to be viable chords to use this voicing on. So first, let's just see what they sound like, just straight up as a dominant chord without anything else around it. So we'll start with the first one with the root on the top. So this is a C dominant 7 chord. It's from the bottom up, it's the 7, flat 9, 3, 5, 13, 1. Now with the E flat in the bass, it's now an E flat 7 chord. With the 5, 7, flat 9, 3, sharp 11, 13. With the F sharp, it's 3, 5, 7, flat 9, sharp 9, sharp 11. So that's the most outside one, or with the most altered notes. Now over to A, A7, this is flat 9, 3, 5, 7, 1, sharp 9. Okay, so those might sound a little dissonant. Well, they do sound a little dissonant. They might sound a little too dissonant to you just as is, but when you put them in the context of a 2-5-1 progression, they start to make a little more sense. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to practice them through the 2-5-1s. So this first chord, the C7, that's the 5 of F. So we're going to do a 2-5-1 in F, and we're going to play the chord which will have the root on the top on that 5. So G minor 7, C7, F major. One more time. And then you can even keep this on the F. All right, next one is E flat. So it's gonna be the 13 on the top, or 6, whatever you wanna call it. And this is gonna be played over 2-5-1 in A flat major, because E flat is the 5 of A flat. So the first chord is a B flat minor 7 chord. Next, we're going to do the F sharp 7. So that's the 5 of B. So it's going to be a 2-5-1 in B. First chord is a C sharp minor. F sharp 7. B. See, you can start to see how that one, where before, when you just play this, originally it sounded a lot more dissonant, but now that you've heard it in that context, it starts to sound like it makes a lot more sense. And again, just keep thinking about the fact that these are all the same exact same notes in four totally different keys. Okay, so the last one is A7, which is the 5 of D. So we're going to play 2-5-1 in D. That starts with an E minor chord. And then the 5 is going to be that sharp 9. Okay, so start here. E minor. A7. 7, D major, with some rhythms that... All right, so that's all the 2-5-1s when you go one chord through four different keys, one voicing through four different keys. Now we're going to like invert that process and do four different voicings through one key. So let's just start with F. And then we're going to, on the 5 chord, we're going to do it through 4 times. So on the 5 chord, we're going to do each of these versions. So like one time we're going to land on the 1, so with the F on top, once on the 13 or 6, so with the D on top, once with the sharp 11, and once with the sharp 9, but all in the key of F. Okay, I just played those as if it was an F7, so we're going to play it in the key of F, so it's going to be a C chord, so this would be landing on the 1. This would be landing on the 13. This would be landing on the sharp 11. This would be the sharp 9. Sorry if I caused any confusion there, because I confused myself for a second. All right, here we go. Key of F. Here's the first one. We did this the first time. Okay, now we're going to land on the 13, which is this A here. So I'll start there too. I'd like to start a little lower so I can go up to it. That one sounds really good. All right. Last one is sharp 9. So let's start on the 5. So that is 4 voicings through 1 key. So that's using the chord, the crunch chord, in a functional context, like over a dominant chord. The next step, you could do this step first if you want, I guess. Another step is to use it to harmonize melodies, any melody you want. And what we're going to do is we're going to go through a tune and play this chord under every melody note. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of them that sound super dissonant. But the point is just you're getting the voicing under your fingers and you're going to hear it like over pretty much every possibility. And so that way you know where it's going to kind of sound good or where you're going to want to play it. It's like an outside-in approach to playing outside. So like an inside out approach would be like to play through a tune and then think, oh, I want to be able to play outside here. And then you try to figure something out. This way, you're playing outside pretty much over the whole thing. And then you're, you know, going to dial it back and draw it back and kind of cover up some of those things that you learned that were outside, but you're going to decide not to play them. So it's... to me, a much more holistic way of learning how to play outside. So to demonstrate that, I'm going to play through There Will Never Be Another You, the whole melody, just using this voicing. And when you do this, you really want to... this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to like jump to the chord as fast as I can with my hands and then make sure it's right and then play it. And so if you see me kind of like jumping and like moving my hands a little bit, it's because like I want to get there and see what my like my natural hand position is and then consciously say, okay, I was off here by, you know, this note. I'm going to move it to here. So if you see that, that's what I'm doing. All right, here we go. Thank you. mess it up. Okay, that's a mental workout right there. So now what I'm going to do is play through the tune, you know, using what I would normally play over it and kind of insert this in wherever I feel like it. And you'll kind of see how this actually will naturally fit in after you've worked hard on being able to play it like that. All right, here we go. Okay, so now you can kind of see how it's actually worked into a tune and how you might start to implement this. But if I really encourage you to download the practice materials that I put together. It's just one page that just kind of goes through this whole thing, but kind of summarizes it in a pretty good way so that you can start practicing this and start implementing it. And you can do this on any tune. You can practice these over any scale. Like you can practice it over a C major scale. What would this be? See, this is exactly why you do it. Practice over scales, patterns, whatever you want to do. But I really hope you enjoy this, and I hope you start looking for things like this that can apply to a lot of different situations. All right, have fun, and happy practicing.